Good afternoon, everybody. I'd like to welcome you to this week's GFW Media Teleconference. This is Ross Foreman. I'd like to welcome our special guest. First, the owner of MMA American Top Team, Dan Lambert. Welcome to the call.
Thanks for having me.
Now, I would certainly like to welcome the four-time former GFW World Heavyweight Champion, the man who steps in the ring this Thursday night at Destination X, Bobby Lashley. Welcome.
Oh, thank you.
Bobby, how's it going for you?
Fantastic. Fantastic. Just got to get training session in this morning, so I am just relaxing now.
What was the morning training session? And I'm guessing there would probably be an afternoon training session for you as well.
Absolutely. This morning we just did some boxing work, some boxing and agility work.
Alrighty. Afternoon, what does that entail?
Afternoon, we might have jiu-jitsu this evening. We're supposed to be having some guys get together, and we'll just do a couple rolls this evening and work on some positioning.
Alright. Let me ask you first, before we open up to some questions, talk about your match you got this Thursday night in Orlando.
Well, I'm pretty excited about it. I mean, Matt Sydal, he's really well known. He's been in the business for a long time. He's a great wrestler, so it's a different matchup for me than I'm used to, with him being so small. But being a high flyer, it's going to be kind of exciting for people. But at the end of the day, you know what? Matt's great, but kind of one of those things where he's just a stepping stone.
All righty. Well, we will, of course, open up for media questions. As always, I please ask that you ask one question. Please specify whether you're directing it towards Bobby and or Dan. And also, please do not get back in the queue for a second question until I give you the word that we can. We have a lot of media members on this call from both wrestling and MMA, so we want to make sure everybody can get to a question. So please, one question, and then wait before you go back for a second one. If you'd like it, get in the queue for a question, it will be star 6.
Q&A session has started. To ask your question, please press star 6.
Hey, Bobby and Dan, how are you doing today?
Fantastic.
This is Grant Matthews, HitterNote.com. I just wanted to ask you guys both, between Mayweather and McGregor later on this month and possibly Brock Lesnar and Jon Jones maybe later this year, if not next year, do you think there's a chance we see any more instances of crossovers in combat sports in the future? And if so, if there's any specific fight match that you would like to see?
And who's this question for?
Grant Matthews, HitterNote.com.
Okay.
I'm just addressing myself. Sorry, it's for both Bobby and Dan. I apologize.
Okay.
Well, I think people are going to go where the money is. Obviously, Mayweather and McGregor is huge. It'll be one of the biggest pay-per-views of all time. And I know there's lots of guys at our gym, including Junior Dos Santos, has already started calling out professional heavyweight boxers. You know, people want to go where the buzz is, and they want to see the matchups that are going to pay themselves the most amount of money. So I would not be surprised at all, based on the success of the show coming up, if you don't see at least more guys calling each other out. Now, whether or not those fights come to fruition, I guess that's up to the promoters and how hard the fans want to see it.
Yeah, and I can't really think of a matchup that I can think of offhand, but that's what everybody's been saying. Everybody wants the big money fights, so that's what we're all doing.
Please remember to identify yourself and your outlet when you ask a question.
Hi there, this is James from Steel Chair Magazine, and this is a question for Bobby.
Yes.
The question is, do you feel now that the best place to go and succeed as a professional wrestler is GFW?
I mean, I wouldn't say it's the best place, but I mean, it's a good place. We've had our ups and downs with things over the last couple of years, but right now we've been really stable, and a lot of good guys are coming over, and I think a lot of good guys are going to continue coming over because we have a good product. And the way everything's running really smooth right now. So everybody's looking for a place, and there's so many wrestlers out there right now. So It's just another place for people to get on TV, be seen, and have an opportunity to wrestle. So I think a lot of people will be coming over, and I think we'll be doing a lot better within the near future.
Hi, it's John Hutchinson from The Sun here in London. I've got a question for Bobby, please. Hi, Bobby. I believe you've been working in the Mayweather gym of recently. I just wanted to ask you how you felt that's all been, you know, whether you've had the chance to kind of chat and talk to Mayweather and his camp, and then also just get your predictions on how you think the Mayweather-McGregor fight could go. And what kind of, what McGregor's best chance could be to have a chance, really, because obviously he's been written off.
Yeah. You know, at the time when I went down there and trained, I didn't talk to Mayweather personally, but his coaches and the other guys who were there, they feel really confident. I mean, it's boxing. He's going into boxing, so he's going to have a hard time regardless. And I think... it's a hype match. That's what we know. I'm not saying Conor's going to do bad, but he's just stepping into an area that he doesn't really know too much about. And I think Mayweather may expose him in a lot of areas. And I think even though people say that Mayweather doesn't have finishing power, I still think this may be a finish for him. I think Mayweather may finish Conor probably on the fourth or fifth.
Hi, Mr. Lashley. This is James from the Wrestling Epicenter. I just wanted to ask a question. It's actually ironic that the pairing is what it is, you guys together on the teleconference, because my question was going to be, there was a report on the internet that your MMA company is nervous about you getting in the wrestling ring as much as you have been of late, and vice versa. I guess my question would be, first, is that true? And secondly, is how different is it to prepare for MMA and professional wrestling, given that they're both high-impact performances?
Well, I'll speak on the prepare part. For me, since wrestling has changed, and wrestling has changed over the years. Before, it was just the big guy, the bodybuilder look. Now it's completely changed. A lot of the wrestlers across the board are more athletic. So that style is very similar to my MMA style. So I don't necessarily train for professional wrestling anymore. Because with MMA training, you have your strength conditioning. You have, of course, for wrestling, you're going to need your various strikes and your grappling and everything like that. So my wrestling and MMA training is basically the same. Now, of course, when I have a fight coming up, I'm going to ramp it up a little bit and maybe specify or maybe work a little bit more in depth into striking or something more for my actual fight. But I don't try to, like, switch back and forth anymore. It's one way, and that's the other way. And as far as them feeling nervous, I mean, Dan's on the phone, so he can easily ask or answer the questions whether or not they feel nervous, but I don't think anybody feels nervous. I think that everybody just wants me to make some kind of decision because there's a huge opportunity in Bellator right now, especially in the heavyweight division. I feel really confident going against any one of those guys. But in order to do that, I probably have to pay a little more attention into my MMA training and maybe get down there and maybe stay in the camp a little bit more, maybe focus a little bit more on that if I want to be a champion, which I have the opportunity to do. And I think they're just trying to say, hey, you have a lot of opportunity here. And the way things are going, like you talked about before, all these big money fights. There are big money fights out there for me also. You know, you got Fedor out there. You're talking about cross promotion. I'd love to fight Brock if I have an opportunity. And then anything else out there. So if that's where the money is, they're kind of saying, hey, you might want to look at this.
Dan, would you like to chime in on that?
Sure. You know, I'm trying to think of the diplomatic way of putting it because I'm a wrestling fan myself. I'm friends with Jeff Jarrett. I got a lot of respect for their company. And like I said, I'm a fan of pro wrestling, so I don't want to be the guy pushing, disrespecting pro wrestling and telling Bobby what's better for him, a way to make his own decisions. But I've been biting Bobby's ear a little bit because I think his window of opportunity as it relates to MMA is not going to stay open quite as long as his window of opportunity in wrestling. And I think he needs to focus on which one he can make the most money on and make the biggest splash in right now. And in my opinion, that's MMA.
Good evening. This is Jeremy Walker from Real Sport. I've got a question for Bobby Lashley.
Could you talk about how your training in MMA has influenced your wrestling style in the ring?
Well, I mean, kind of how I answered before, my style, it just kind of gives a little different level. You know, everybody's out there learning the same thing, doing the same thing, and with having an MMA background and doing some of the stuff in MMA, you're going to see, I throw some of that in some of my matches, so I'm going for a lot more submission in matches to win, and I'm doing more striking as opposed to just professional wrestling stuff. And that's just one, it just gives the crowd something different to see, and two, it gives me the edge. That's pretty much why I do it. I enjoy fighting, but if I don't use my fighting into my wrestling, then I'm doing myself a disservice.
Hi, it's Lee Med from Live Radio in Scotland here with a question for Mr. Lashley, if possible. Obviously, Bobby, you've got a great history with the Impact, the GFW title just now. You've got a match coming up this Thursday night on Destination X against Matt Sydal. And also there's a whole gamut of options in the GFW world title picture. Obviously, the smart money is on you beating Matt Sydal this week and going on to become a number one contender for that now vacant GFW title. Who do you think would give you the best fight for that now vacant title?
If I look through the roster, I mean, I said I was going to be a fun one, but I'm going to beat him up. Everybody knows it. And then after that, I mean, there's some guys in there that you know, going to give me a little bit of a trouble, but I wouldn't say anybody is going to be a real strong competition. I know that, you know, Moose has been doing some things. Moose is tough. I think Eli Drake has been doing some good stuff. He's tough. But I don't think any one of those guys are ready. I think it's beating Matt Sydal, and then whoever else they put me against, beating them, and then basically just hold on that title for another year and let those guys fight for each other, and then decide who's going to actually step up and do something bigger. But right now, I really don't see anybody beating me. I mean, I look down that roster, really don't see anybody beating me. That's what they've been doing up to this point. Since I've had that title for the last few years, they've been bringing people in across the board. They brought Josh Barnett in. They brought Al Patron in. They keep bringing these guys in to try to challenge them, and they knock them all down. So, I mean, this is just another case. They just don't have anybody. There's not anybody in the wrestling business right now that I feel that can completely stop me. I think there's some people that can give me good matchups, but I don't think there's anybody that can completely stop me.
Hi, this question is for Bobby. This is Dan Gelf with the Associated Press. Bobby, you're on the short list probably with Ken Shamrock and Brock Lesnar's guys who were successful in both MMA and pro wrestling. A lot of guys have struggled with one or the other. That is, and what do you think it is the biggest challenge? Is it going from pro wrestling to an MMA fighter, or the other way around?
I think it's going from the professional world. Well, I think it's from the professional wrestling over to the fight world, because not everybody has a background. If you're going to go from professional wrestling into the fight world, you got to have some kind of background. There's some people that do. Don't get me wrong. Like there's, of course, Brock coming over. He had the wrestling background. Shelton Benjamin has a wrestling background. Some of the other guys that are training right now have a little bit of a wrestling background. You got to have some kind of background. From the professional wrestling world going in. You can't just be a professional wrestler and have nothing before that and expect to be successful in fighting. It just takes too many years of training, learning, and everything like that to catch up. I think that there's an opportunity for some of the fighters to switch over because, you know, some of the fighters, one, they have a little bit of a name value and they have a fan base. So, it's still wrestling. So some of the fighters have, you know, wrestling background. So when they come over, they can learn the fireman carry. They can learn some of the throws that we do in professional wrestling the same way we do in amateur wrestling. So I think that if they can find a place where they can get the necessary training, I think there's some fighters that can actually switch over. And I think it might be easier for them.
Thank you.
Hello, this is Anirudh Balasubramaniam from sportsgear.com. I have a question for Bobby Lashley.
Yes.
Yeah, hi, Bobby. You are obviously one of the most successful two-sport athletes that we have in professional wrestling at the moment. However, the man who laid the groundwork for that and experienced staggering success in the UFC as its heavyweight champion was Brock Lesnar. You've obviously expressed an interest in fighting. How do you think you'd fare against Brock Lesnar in an MMA environment? Of course, both of you have amateur wrestling backgrounds, and both of you are incredibly athletic human beings.
Well, there's two reasons that I expressed the interest. One is because I thought it would be a big money fight like everybody's talking about. But two is because I thought I could win. So if you're asking me how I fare against him, I think I could win. I mean, I don't know any other way to answer that question. I think it'll be a good fight, and I think a lot of people want to see it. I mean, I could post any picture. I could post a picture today with my kids, and I'll have like 10, 15, 20 people come on there and say, hey, we want you to come back to WWE, or we want you to come back to fighting, or we want you to come here, but we all want you to fight Brock, and that's why we wanted you to do it. So I think it's a fight that needs to be made eventually, somehow, some way.
Hi there, it's James from Steel Chair Magazine. This is for Bobby. What are your thoughts on MMA stars coming into wrestling and talking to wrestlers like Jon Jones calling out Lesnar, or even rumors that Ronda Rousey might appear in the WWE?
I'm sorry, can you ask that question again?
I'll say, what are your thoughts on MMA stars coming into like wrestling environments like Jon Jones calling out Lesnar, or even the rumors that Ronda Rousey might appear at WWE at some point?
It's brilliant. It's brilliant. I mean, it's combat sports across the board. You know, we're both sports entertainment, and you know, there's only two major companies that are in the fight promotion, fight game, and that's Bellator and UFC. There's some other ones that are around there, but those are the two major ones. So if people are leaving there or even looking for another place to go, professional wrestling is a natural course. But like I said before, it takes a great deal of training. You can't just say, okay, I fought before, so I want to be a professional wrestler. And some of the people that have moved over, they realize how tough it is to become a professional wrestler. But that's where the money is. Everybody's going for those money fights. That's how the business has changed. So that's what Brock is calling, or John Jones is calling Brock out, because he's got a huge fan base. And Ronda Rousey wants to keep her name value up, so she's going to come over. She wants to come with professional wrestling. And they'll welcome her with open arms. Everybody loves Ronda still. And everybody wants to see the John Jones Brock fight. So, I mean, I think it's very intelligent for them to do that.
Hi, this is John Cornett from USA Today. This question is for Bobby. Just wanted to ask your thoughts on the position that the company took relative to suspending El Patron and then stripping him from the title. What does that say about management or about the company priorities, in the times that we live in, about just generally?
I don't think it says anything about the company. I mean, we're all individuals. When we go out there and do something, we have to hold ourselves accountable for the things that we do. And you know, if the company has to do what they have to do, it's an unfortunate situation. I don't know all the details of it because I try to stay out of that. My business and my contract says for me to be a performer, I do that part, not to do any of the backstage stuff or the office stuff. I just recently heard about it yesterday, and I was traveling, so it really didn't even sink in. But the one thing I do know is, who needs a title? That's me. Give me my title back. That's the only thing I have to say about that. I could care less what they have going on with him. I'm sure he's going to figure out whatever the situation is. He's going to get that stuff worked out. I think El Patron is an amazing wrestler, and I think the wrestling business needs him. So if he needs to step back and then come back, or whatever the case is, or whatever his situation is, let him handle that and then let him deal with it. But for me, I'm just here to compete. And now there's that open title. That's all I'm focused on.
I've got a quick question for Bobby. It's John Richardson again from The Sun. Bobby, obviously the news broke this week that Ric Flair was ill in hospital. I was just wanting to get your reaction personally from hearing the news, what Ric Flair kind of means to you as a wrestler and all he's done for the sport.
Well, see, there again, I've been traveling, so I haven't had an opportunity to see all the news that went on. I just saw somebody post something, so I don't even know what's going on with it. But as far as what Ric Flair's done to the sport, I mean, he's a pioneer of the sport. I mean, Ric Flair, you can't say professional wrestling and not have, you know, names like Ric Flair and, you know, of course, Hulk Hogan and Rock and those, some of those names down. But Ric Flair, of course. So, I mean, it's sad to hear that he's going through this right now. But like everybody says, you know, it's a nature boy. The guy survived a plane crash. we're all pulling for him. I hope everything goes out. I really don't know what's going on. I don't know where they're at in this case, so I don't want to talk on it too much. But, of course, Ric Flair being a huge pioneer and being one of the toughest guys inside and outside of the ring. I mean, he's definitely somebody everybody looks up to.
Before we move on to the next question, yes, for the people who have sent me messages, in the follow-up questions, you may get back in queue if you have a follow-up question or a second question.
Sure.
Hey, Bobby, this is Graham Matthews with HiddenRemote.com again. My question for you would be, I know your initial stint in TNA many years ago did not last long, around 2009, 2010, but how would you compare the atmosphere between TNA back then and GFW in present day? And why did you prompt to return to the company when you did a number of years ago, back in 2014?
Okay. Well, I never really wanted to leave in the first place. Now, my first stint with TNA or GFW was a chance. We're trying what we're doing now. Before, no one really knew the commitment needed to be able to do professional wrestling and pro wrestling. No one knew. And then when we found out, it started becoming a little complicated. So at that point, I had to kind of stay because I was pursuing MMA. But now, it's different. It's different. There's more communication. Because that's the only way that it can happen. There's the only way that I could be able to fight and do professional wrestling at the same time, is if there's cooperation and there's communication between the MMA side and the professional wrestling side. And, I mean, it's been really easy lately because everybody understands and everybody sees the big picture. The fighting has been beneficial to my wrestling, and the wrestling has been beneficial to my fighting. So everybody's on board to make it really calm, really easy, so I'm able to do it. And I'm going to continue to do it as long as I can, because right now I can't. I know we're dealing with something right now, whether or not I can devote enough time to be able to be completely successful and as successful as I possibly can in fighting, but we'll figure that out. I'm just excited to have the opportunity to do it.
Hello again, this is Jeremy Walker from Real Sport. Lashley, we're 10 years removed now from your last WWE appearance. With so much time passed, do you have any reflection on the time there and how it all ended?
Wow, 10 years. Damn, it seems like a long time. No, it's been a blur, man. My life, ever since I started WWE till now, it's just everything's just kind of packed together. I don't really want to speak on leaving or anything like that. It was just one of those situations that, you know, I stepped away and I had another opportunity with fighting it. And the opportunities went really well, and getting back into wrestling with Impact has gone really well. So I really can't say anything about the time that I left, because since the time I left, I mean, I put in 17 pro fights, which I think is a really big accomplishment for myself, and then I'm back in professional wrestling. So it's one of those things where great things have been happening. I mean, I think I'm really blessed. Things that have been happening to me in my life for the past years, and I, as I look back, I wouldn't change anything. I mean, WWE was an amazing experience for me, and I accomplished some really huge things. So I always look back at that time and smile and have great friends from it, and guys that I'm still working with now, because the wrestling is really, really good to me. So I'm happy with it.
Hi, this is Nick Hausman with WrestleZone.com. My question's also for you, Bobby, and also about your time in WWE. Obviously, one of the big moments there was the WrestleMania moment with you and Trump and McMahon and Umaga. I was just wondering, have you talked at all to Donald Trump since he's been elected? And also, I didn't know if you had any thoughts on his responses since the event that transpired in Charlottesville?
No and no. since that time, that time was a long, it was a long time. It was over 10 years ago, and in the time that I spent with Trump, it was really cool. I mean, the pay-per-view was phenomenal, and just working with him was great. Like, I have nothing bad to say about him. The thing in Charlottesville, like I said, I'm not one that's always into media, and this weekend was a super busy weekend for me. I was traveling. I was in Toronto. You know, doing some wrestling shows up there and a whole bunch of media and everything like that. So I didn't really get to see any of the stuff or what he said about it. I really don't even know all the details of what happened. So I'm just getting back into town and getting back in the thick and just finding out everything that's going on. So I really don't know too much. I'm sure I'm going to read some articles today to give me some more insight of what happened. But right now, I really don't know.
Hi guys, this is Mike McMahon from PWTorch.com. This is a question for Bobby and for Dan. The videos that they've aired on Impact the last couple of weeks, featuring, you know, American Top Team and talking about Bobby, there was a soundbite in there from King Mo where he talked about how taxing wrestling can be on your body as an athlete. I was wondering, from both you guys, is there things you do in your MMA training that you need to adapt when there is a set of television tapings that you do for Impact, or we have some matches coming up? Are there parts of your MMA training that you have to adapt to account for?
My biggest thing is my sparring. So if I have a schedule, like this week I have 6 days of taping. So we're gonna tape, I think, something like 10 or 12 shows in 6 days. So leading up this week, I mean, I trained today pretty hard. I'm going to train tomorrow pretty hard also. And then, but one thing I cut out some of my sparring, and I try to strategically plan my sparring in my training, because I don't want to be heavy sparring like right before going to the taping, and I don't want to like set up a sparring session right when I get back from taping. Because I have 6 days straight, so when I get back, the last thing I'm going to want to do is strap on some gloves and go super hard in the sparring. That's the only thing I would really switch up. Outside of that, drilling is fine. My strength and conditioning is fine. Everything else I keep the same.
Hi, it's Lee Med from Alive 107.3 in Scotland again. It was just a very quick question for you, Bobby. Over here in the UK, also, we are huge fans of both mixed martial arts and pro wrestling. We love the chance to get to experience both events live. Also, you've recently been over in India as part of the Impact India tapings. How did you find the audience responded when you were over there? And when can we expect to see you back in the UK fighting either for MMA or for GFW?
Wow. India was great. India's always a great crowd. There's so many people in India. When we went over there, it was amazing. You couldn't go anywhere because they were waiting for pro wrestling. They've been waiting for pro wrestling for a long time. And they have their stars from India that are now doing pro wrestling in the United States. So I think the fan base has even grown even more now. So when we went down there, it was great. Our shows were incredible. It was incredible. It's nice all the way across the board. And as far as fighting in the UK, that's on the table right now. That's what like I said, I had a busy weekend this week, and things have been going, and it's been really busy for me, so I haven't had an opportunity to sit down and plan things out. After this call, that's when I'm going to sit down with Dan, of course, and we're going to talk about when the next fight date is. Because that's the biggest thing with my fighting, was to be able to sit down with Dan and my training team and say, all right, when can we fight, and then sit down and then come over to GFW and talk with Jeff and talk with the management there and say, you know, when's our taping, and see if we can put something together, see if we can get a fight date in there. So that's what I'm doing right now, because I've been ramping up my MMA training a little bit more now, because there's a lot of things going on with Bellator. So we're going to look to get a fight pretty soon. And I know that they're doing a couple more fights in the UK. I think they're going to have one in December. Who knows? I mean, if all the cards align, all the stars align, we might be able to get on that card. I don't know. That's what we're going to talk about after this conference.
Cool. That'd be pretty cool to see. Cheers, Bobby.
Thanks, Ray.
Hi, Bobby. Hi, Dan. It's Dan from TWS Radio here. A lot of interesting questions tonight. We thought we'd make it a little bit more fun, a little more upbeat. We ask everyone this question. We got a hashtag Pineapplegate. It's a simple yes or no answer from both of you. Pineapple on pizza, yes or no?
I say yes. I'm going negative.
Ooh. It is a 50-50 split across the nation at the moment. That is very interesting. Thank you, gentlemen.
Oh, pleasure. What's wrong with pineapples?
I don't know what's wrong with pineapples. Anyway, James from Steelchair, once again. James from Steelchair Mag, once again. Just a question about if you had to give advice for anyone that wanted to start, say, start training for MMA or pro wrestling, what advice would you give them?
Well, if the question were in my direction, it would be to pick one. It's really difficult to succeed at either one of those endeavors, and if you want to try to be good at both, you're splitting your time in half, and these are not the old days, at least not of MMA. This sport has evolved, and everybody is training, and everybody is well-rounded. And if you're not putting 100% of your time into it and you're getting into a cage and locking the door where somebody wants to take your head off, you're not giving yourself a very good chance of winning if you're not focusing on what you need to do to be successful at sport.
Well, I'm going to agree with Dan, but on the same token, I'm going to say, you know, if somebody has the thought or the wish or the desire to do both, it may be something to start out with and look at both. And just to keep your options open, because you may put all the training into MMA and still not become successful, and then just kind of, and then you might need somewhere else to go, or you might try both of them and like professional wrestling over MMA. So to say not start either one of them, I wouldn't say to do. I say if you can start both of them and decide which one you want later, then do it. But a little bit. I agree a little bit with what Dan says. I mean, I've been going out and I've been doing both of them, but of course right now I'm at the crossroads making a even more a tougher decision. But it's not to say you can't do both.
No, thank you.
Hi guys, it's Nick Hausman from WrestleZone.com again. Bobby, I know we talked earlier about, you know, the different backgrounds of pro wrestlers and MMA fighters and how it's maybe harder for pro wrestlers to jump into MMA. There's a lot of speculation around what CM Punk could be doing in the world of MMA going forward. Is he a name you'd like to see in Bellator? Do you think he would improve the brand?
I'm going to let Dan answer that question.
I'm not familiar enough with his MMA training. I know his debut in MMA was not successful, but, I mean, how could it be? I mean, you've got a guy who was, you know, he was, you talk about throwing yourself into a crash course of a new sport. You know, I give him props for getting in there after such a short period of time training. You know, I don't know what he's done since that time to get better. I know he is with a great camp over at Duke Rufus's gym. He's a friend of mine, and he's a great coach, and they've got great sparring partners over there. So if he's getting better, I don't know really what his background was prior to getting into MMA. I do know that the days of being competent in one aspect of MMA, whether that's wrestling or jiu-jitsu or striking, and thinking you can take that and translate that into a successful MMA career in a short period of time are gone. Our sport's evolved, and if you're not competent in all aspects of mixed martial arts, you're going to be in for a world of hurt. So if he's put the time in and he's built up his skill set and gotten more well-rounded since his last shot at it, who knows? I know he's got a great personality and a big fan base, and he can draw money, but that's not going to do you any good if you get in there and you're not ready for what that other guy is going to bring you.
Yeah, that's a tough one. Yeah, I think one of the biggest questions is not so much where he's going to fight, it's like who's he going to fight? Because I think that's one of the biggest problems is you bring them to UFC, you bring them to Bellator, you know, they don't let guys in there without a handful of fights, 5-10 fights under the belt. So who's he going to fight? I'd like to see him back out there. I mean, it's good for everyone, but we'll see. I hope he puts the training in and gets someone.
And what is it like at American Top Team having some of the women talent that you have there, such as Amanda Nunes and Joanna, and just, I mean, pound for pound, what those two have been able to do?
I got to tell you, I was not the biggest fan of female mixed martial arts dating back 10 years ago or so when I was promoting shows and we were putting a couple of those fights on there. I likened the women's mixed martial arts to the men's back in the early 90s when it was a relatively new sport and people didn't really know what they were doing, and it was more of a brawl than it was a technical match. But in the years since the UFC brought the women in, there's been a huge increase in the quality of the fights, and we made a decision a few years ago to build up our women's division because it's something that was growing in popularity, and it's what fans wanted to see, and promoters had a strong demand for women fighters, and we now probably have about 15 to 20 women training full-time at our gym or professional fighters, and it's gone through the roof, and it's great for us. You mentioned those two names right there. They're two of the 11 champions in the UFC are female fighters at our gym, and those two are great examples for our guys alike. I mean, they go in there and they set a standard. Those two go in and they train hard and they prepare hard and they're disciplined and they're focused, and it's great to see it.
Thank you.
Hi, Bobby. This is Graham Matthews from HitRemote.com again. Of course, Kurt Angle's now back in the WWE as the Raw GM. But on record, you did have his last televised match to date, early last year, in GFW. I just want to get what it meant to you to wrestle Kurt Angle's final televised match, GFW.
That match was, I've done a lot of things in wrestling, from big pay-per-views all the way across the world, from WrestleMania to everything else. That one, I put that one all the way on the top. I mean, not on the top of everything, but I think it's like my top two, top three. And the reason being is I've always looked up to Kurt. I was watching Kurt when I was in high school, wrestling, and Kurt was winning nationals in college. And then when I went to college and I was winning national championships in college, Kurt was winning the Olympic championships and world championships. And then I just kind of followed him all the way up. And then afterwards, when I was at the Olympic Training Center, Kurt actually came to the Olympic Training Center to do a vignette, and Kurt's the one that found me. He said, "Man, you should be a professional. He said, you ever think about professional wrestling?" We talked a little bit, passed my number on, and the rest is history. I mean, he was the one that got me into professional wrestling. And for the time that we were in, for 12 years that I was in professional wrestling, me and Kurt never even crossed paths. When I went to WWE, he went to TNA. When I went to TNA, he stepped out and was fighting. And then he came back, and I was out, and I went fighting, and then I finally came back. So the whole time, this person that got me in there mentored me along the way. We would always talk on the phone, and he would talk to me about different matches and what to do, and just kind of help me out with the just politics of wrestling, and just kind of mentored me all the way. And then actually having an opportunity to wrestle him towards the end, that was the one thing that I was jockeying and pulling for so hard, especially with TNA last year. As I was telling them, man, if Kurt's getting ready to retire, you guys got to get something. You got to get me in the ring with him. And it was incredible. We had two big matches, and each time, it was just incredible. It was like you're in the ring with your teacher. That's kind of how it was for me. I love Kurt's style. I mimic Kurt's style to a certain extent. So to me, it was amazing.
Hi, Jeremy Walker from Real Sport again. Lashley, could you tell us what your favorite match has been in Impact Wrestling?
Oh, man, I can't. And this is one thing, I didn't even know how it was going to be when I went over there, but I can tell you this. There's been so many guys that I can say just had amazing matches, but one person I want to just kind of put it, I don't even want to say one person because there's so many. Bobby Roode, my series with Bobby Roode, incredible. I think Bobby Roode is arguably one of the best wrestlers in the wrestling business today. I mean, he the total package. I'm gonna say really great things about him because I am best with him. It was a day off, but it was a very intense deal. Another one, Drew Galloway. And when I had matches with Drew gave me what I needed from professional wrestling. When I go out there and I get into a match with somebody in professional wrestling, I look in their eyes and I try to punk them. That's what I do. I try to punk them. I try to steal their soul. And Drew had that look back, where it was like, this guy might be crazy enough to actually really throw down with me. And that's what it looked like in our matches. Our matches were like train wrecks, man. We were out there killing each other. He's a big guy. He has a great look. I think he's a superstar. But then I'm not going to take anything away from all the other guys that I was in the ring with. EY, I think EY is amazing. Moose, amazing. Eli Drake. There's just so many people that I can't just pick one. I would say the names that I said, of course, at the beginning, Bobby Roode, I just think he's on his way. And, man, this Austin Aries, Jeff Hardy. I mean, that was the first time I had an opportunity to wrestle Jeff. Never did before. And that was just crazy because that's a whole different style of match. You're talking about a guy that's trying to kill himself to beat you. So that's just a completely different match. There's a lot of great guys in there and a lot of great wrestling in Impact TNA that I didn't realize before getting there. And it's a different style of wrestling. And here's another name, Eddie Edwards. Eddie Edwards, being a smaller guy, bridged that gap on the size and made that match believable. Like, people really believed that he was going to beat me. He actually, I gave him the title once, but then I took it back from him. But people actually believed it. So I think he's an amazing performer also. There's just so many guys. I can't just pick one.
Hi, Bobby. This is Anirudh from Sports Kita again. I have a question for you.
Yeah.
So, Bobby, I just wanted to ask you about concussions and CTE in the world of professional wrestling and MMA. I wanted to ask you, how do you think the general growing awareness of head injuries and concussions is going to impact the way both sports are going to evolve in the years to come? And now, as someone who's been doing both sports for over a decade now, how many concussions have you had? And now that you're 41 years of age, is there a finish line in sight with this new knowledge of head injuries and everything?
I've had no documented concussions. And I try to take care of myself as much as possible. One thing you got to take into consideration is professional wrestling, and you know it going in. I know there's dangers to every profession, and our particular profession, concussions is one thing. But it's like the deal where I can go and fight and take one punch and have a concussion, be concussed, and then start having some issues with it. Or I can fight my entire career and never have a concussion. It's just the hazards of the business. And I don't think it's going to slow down because it's too big right now. I think if anything else, they may think of ways to maybe safeguard it a little bit more. But, man, professional wrestling's been around forever, and it's just what we do. And if you start taking that away, you're going to start going across the board and saying, like, my ex-girlfriend, she was a cheerleader. They're saying, oh, cheerleading is the most dangerous sport out there. And then if you do your research, it'll say, you know, there's more cheerleading accidents than any other sport. So are we going to stop cheerleading because there's concussions in there? Because that's what's happening there. And then you got to look at, like, rugby, and then you look at even soccer guys are running into each other. You take one good bump on the ground, one good fall on the ground, and he's concussed. So we can have the soccer players wear helmets. Yeah, these are some of the things that we can find out that there's problems in different areas, and we can do whatever we can to prevent those problems. But some problems are just inevitable. It's combat sports. It's going to happen. There's always going to be fighting. There's always going to be wrestling. There's always going to be football. There's always going to be rugby. There's always going to be cheerleading. There's always going to be all these different things. So the best that we can do is look at prevention and find some ways to maybe detect it a little bit sooner. I mean, that's the only thing that we can do to lessen the big problems.
Hey, Dan and Bobby, Jim Barcelone with Miami Herald, MiamiHerald.com. What do you both think of the Conor McGregor, Floyd Mayweather, boxer, MMA battle, and they're going to have a boxing match? Entertainment, is it good for each sport? Just what are your thoughts of that contest?
I think it's great for both sports. I mean, just take a look at how many hits it's getting on social media and what everybody's talking about on everything from SportsCenter to Sports Illustrated, everything you can point a finger at. I mean, it's the hottest thing going right now. So, you know, is it the fairest way to, you know, determine who the better combat athlete is? No, because it's under Floyd's rules any more than it would be fair if they put it under Conor's rules. But it's big money, it's big eyeballs, it's entertainment. I mean, it's a win-win.
Yeah, I kind of agree with it, Bob. I think that it's one of those deals where we all want to be excited. And right now, there's kind of, I don't want to say a huge stalemate, but everybody's trying to figure out what's exciting. Like they're finding out who's fighting this weekend. That's not so exciting. Everybody wants to excite in a fight. Everybody wants to all order pay-per-views and hang out at each other's house and be like, oh man, and just start betting about everything and then getting opinions for everyone. And that's what's happening right now with these guys. You have 10 people, you'll probably get 10 different outcomes that they believe is going to happen with this fight. So it's exciting, and that's what everybody wants. So it's sad that the hardcore MMA guys, or the hardcore martial artists, are upset about what's happening, but rationally so. And some of the people that are talking about Mayweather, they're like, oh, it's going to be like the great white height, where Mayweather's not going to work out. He's like, oh, I'm going to kill this guy because it's no problem. Yeah, he's not doing that. We know he's not doing that. He has a lot riding on him, man. If Conor wins that fight, Conor can arguably go out there and say, boxing sucks. I never boxed before, and I knocked out the greatest boxer in the entire world. You know, so he's not only beating Floyd, but he's beating Pacquiao, he's beating Mosley, he's beating all these different guys, and I think Floyd understands that. That he's not just representing his legacy, he's representing boxing across the board. So we know Floyd's coming, and he's going to bring his A game. He's going to be ready to go. And the outcome is going to be the outcome. But right now, like, just the sheer excitement and having something to talk about, that's what we have, and that's what they're giving us.
Thank you.
Hi, Bobby. This is Anirudh from SportsKita again. I just wanted to ask you, now that you're 41 years old and you're in the twilight of your combat sports career, can you see your finish line in sight?
Easy. We can easy on this 41 thing. Because 41 doesn't mean anything to me right now, man. I can understand if you're talking about my neighbor, and he's 41 years old, because all he does is cut his grass out back. I'm completely different. I'm a completely different animal. 41 to me is like 26 to another person, so it's not twilight. See, I have a lot of time left. I don't think you're going to cut back anything. Not now, not anytime soon.
Alrighty, Bobby, I told you we'd be at about 45 minutes. We're just over 45. I'll give you the floor for a final thought as we head into destination next on Thursday.
Oh, you want me? Give you my final thought?
Sure.
Oh, yeah. Okay. My final thought for this weekend, I mean, I'm excited about it. I just had an opportunity to go to Toronto this past weekend, and again, the ring with one of the guys that almost mimics Matt Sydal, a guy by the name of Mike Bailey, Speedball Mike Bailey. So it's almost the same style that I had to wrestle. So I got my little extra practice in to get ready for Matt Sydal. So, of course, I'm ready for that match. And on top of that, I think it's going to be an amazing match. It's one of those matches where you kind of scratch your head on and you're like, man, that might be pretty cool. Just because Matt Sydal has been in the ring with guys like myself, bigger guys, and has been able to overcome some of these larger matches. So it's going to get that some of those X Division and smaller guy fans something to look at, because they're going to say, man, maybe he might beat Bobby. But at the end of the day, it's going to give us bigger guys the opportunity to do the same thing and saying, just go and kill him, because that's what I'm going to go out and do. So I think the match is going to be good, because I'm going to go out there and look to murder him, and he's going to try to like stay away from me and try to get something over on me. So I think it's going to be a great match. Not only that match, we have so many other great matches on the card. So I think if you want to check out what's going on with GFW and what we have and how we've been kind of moving forward and some of the great talent that we have on there, this is the week to do it, because I know everybody's getting ready for this, because everybody's in the run for it. Because like we said, we have that vacant heavyweight title. So I think everybody right now are shining their boots and getting a little bit of extra time in the gym because they want that opportunity, because nobody knows who's going to have the opportunity. It might be a Power Royal. It might be a tournament. We don't know. But whatever it is, everybody's going to throw their hat in. Everybody's going to try to get that title. So I think it's going to be a good opportunity to watch good wrestling this week.
Dan Lambert, your thoughts?
Well, not really much. I'm just a fan like the rest of everybody else is going to watch the shows this Thursday. Bobby and I have a little bit of a difference of opinion as to what he needs to do and what he should do in the future, but he's my friend, and I'm going up to support him and watch the matches and have a good time because I'm a lifelong wrestling fan. Nothing really more, nothing less.
Perfect. Dan, Bobby, appreciate it very much. This Thursday night, Destination X, Bobby Lashley steps in the ring against Matt Sydal.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling, and we'll talk to you guys next week.
Pleasure.